I ask for help by in Jesus' wonderful and great name. Amen. When you read this passage of the Word of God, you can see very clearly that there are dark and dreadful days upon the land of Israel. In relation to sin and to wickedness, sin was abounding on every hand. A brief look at the previous chapter in chapter 5 reveals that sin was very much in the lives and in the hearts of the people of Israel. Five times in the chapter 5, the name woe is placed by God upon the people. Time after time, the God of heaven called out a sentence upon the people. Listen, because of their wickedness and because of their sin, woe unto them. Sin was rife in the land. For one instance, you can take chapter 5 and the verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they may continue until night to wine inflame them. And so we find here defilement was reigning in the land, no matter where you looked. Sin was running rampant in the land. And not only was there defilement in the land, we can see there was death in the land. Because this is what the text brings to us here in the verse 1, the death of a king. Uzziah, the king, has died. You can read in the Bible about King Uzziah. He was a great king. He came to the throne when he was 16 years old, and for 52 years he reigned in Judah. He was a prosperous king. He was one who ruled well over the people. Yet we find at the close of his life, he failed God. He was filled with pride. He says, I can go into the temple, I can order incense, I can do whatever I like. You see, he's just a man. He's just a man like all the rest of us. And when the Bible tells us about people in the Bible, it paints warts and all. He was a great king. He's just a man. He died a leper. But despite that, he was a great king. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the news that broke all across the land? The king is dead. The king is dead. Lamentation and sorrow would have gripped the hearts of the people. Even this mighty prophet Isaiah, his heart would have been touched. The king is dead. And yet, here's a wonderful thing. At this particular time of sorrow and of defilement and the death and the land, the Lord gives to Isaiah a great view of himself. Because he says in the verse 1 here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. This great vision was given to Isaiah in days of darkness and days of death. And could I say to you, he never forgot it. He never forgot this day in the temple, the vision God gave to him of himself. Oh, can I say to you this morning, maybe it's been a hard year for people. It has been hard. There's a lot of death around us at the moment, different households been plunged in the mourning. Maybe there's some in this congregation or some listening to my voice on the internet, and it's been the toughest year of your life. And maybe you're down in the very depths of despair. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's personal problems with sickness. Maybe it's political problems. We look around the nation. We see sin running rampant in our land and in our nation. We need to get to this place where I got to. There's so much around us that causes us distress and pain. There's so much within us. I speak to God's children. It gets us down to the very depths of despair in our life. Here is where we need to look this morning. Coming to the end of another year in God's house, to look unto the Lord. And we see God here. It says in the verse 6, God is still on the throne. And what a truth that should be to all of our hearts today. Yes, we have been thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ in previous times, coming into the world to be our Savior. We can see Christ in the cradle. But here's Christ, as you'll see shortly, upon the throne of heaven. And so we want to look at this vision that Isaiah saw. The first thing he saw here was the sovereignty of God. He saw the sovereignty of God here in this wonderful vision. Listen to what he says. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. He saw a throne. It was not the throne of Judah he was looking at here. He was not looking at that throne. That throne was empty. But his eyes was upon another throne. It was a throne in heaven. He lifted up his eyes and he saw on this throne the God of heaven sitting upon his throne. And on this side of the sovereignty of God, he saw his reign. He saw the God, the supreme God of the universe. He was still reigning. Uzziah's reign had come to an end for 52 years. He had reigned the city. He had reigned the land. He had reigned over the people. That had come to an end. But he saw his God was still reigning. His God was still king. He was still in control of everything. Remember it says in Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Over all. And there was disruption in the land. There was defilement in the land. There was death in the land. But he saw one who was ruling all over this. That was God. His God was ruling over all of these things. And that's true for all of us today. We get the press, we put on the news and the broadcast, and things are saying, they get us down in the very dumps. As I say, maybe you've been suffering hard things in your life over the past year. And you're cast down to the very bottom of despair. I want to say to you today, God is still on the throne. God is ruling over all. All the problems we have, all the difficulties we face. He's all under control. That's encourage our hearts today. We can cast down with the news reports that come to our ears. What is going to happen? God is still on the throne. He saw the sovereignty of God. He's still reigning. Remember, it's an eternal reign. In Psalm 10, verse 16, the Lord is King forever and forever. He's an everlasting king. And Isaiah saw this great vision. He saw the sovereignty of the Lord. He's sitting upon a throne. He saw his reign. He saw something else. He saw his rest. Notice what he said. I saw the Lord sitting. Sitting upon a throne. And when you think of this sight, God sitting upon the throne, all is at peace with the Lord. He's not agitated. He's not restless. He's not panicking. He's not pacing back and forward over the court of heaven. What is he going to do? No, all is at rest. He's sitting. He's all under control. All is well. Of course, when you look at the land, you'd have thought that painted a different picture. You'd have said, oh, it's not well. The land is full of sin. The king has died. Hearts were broken. Isaiah may feel alone. But all was well. God had everything under his control. His hand, you see, was controlling all the nations. He had everything under control. And he was in peace with himself. Remember in Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What tremendous words these are about us today, to us about the sovereignty of God. He's worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I say to you, child of God today, do you think your life is out of control? God has your whole life in his hands. He has you in his hands. Who's holding the world? God. Who controls the world? You? Oh no. the Lord. He's got you in the palm of his hands. He's all under the throne. It may all seem dark. It may all seem grey. They may be in the pit of desperation this morning. But the Lord is still on the throne. He's at rest. He's seated. Now, how different you and I are. We don't get rest. No, we're sleepless. Well, we can't sleep when there's problems or difficulties. We panic. We pace back and forward. We're anxious. We're irritated. We get angry very quickly. But not so with God. He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. I want to say to you this morning, if God's not panicking, then don't you be panicking. Don't you be panicking, child of God. God is not panicking. He's sitting. He's at peace. He's at rest. He has it all in his hands, whatever it is you're facing. Isaiah saw this. He saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. He saw his regiment as well, because look at end of verse 5. The Lord of hosts, and that means the Lord of armies. It was Matthew Henry said, he saw God's sovereignty to be incontestable. He is the King, and his power irresistible. He is the Lord of hosts. He's the God of armies. And when Isaiah looked up into heaven, he saw this powerful God sitting upon the throne, who could be could not be defeated. He is mighty. He is strong. None can stand against him. None could defeat him. None could defeat him. None can defeat our God. Remember it says in 1 Samuel 6 verse 20, and the men of Bathshemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And the answer is simple. There's none. There's none who's able to stand before the God of heaven. He's mighty God. And you need to see that today. That's what Isaiah saw. His God is mighty. He's upon the throne. He's a God of hosts. He's a Lord of the armies. God is still on the throne. Sometimes we used to sing that little chorus together, didn't we? God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Maybe you think this morning, child of God, he's forgotten me. You've been praying. You've been broken before him. But he has not forgotten you. You need to see the sight, the vision that Isaiah saw. I saw the Lord. I saw him. And I trust today by faith, we see the Lord. We see him upon the throne, our great God of our salvation. And we saw the sovereignty of God. Now, a second lesson we can draw from this passage, and I've had to move to John 12, but he saw not only the sovereignty of God, he saw the Son of God. He saw the Son of God, of course, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, mine eyes have seen the King. He's looking here at one who is Lord. He's looking at one here who is King. And he says, I saw the Lord. Who did he see? Of course he saw Jehovah. We know that. The word Jehovah is in the text. Yahweh. He saw the Lord. But he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As he looked at the sight, how do we know that? Well, over in John's Gospel, in the chapter 12. Remember, the John's Gospel brings us the truths of the Old Testament. And in John's Gospel, chapter 12, here it tells us, John is quoting from Isaiah, this mighty prophet of God, the evangelical prophet. And he says in verse 38 of John's 12, that the sayings of Elias, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said, and here's what he said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And he's quoting that verse. Isaiah said these words. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah says similar words, you see. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. The people's hearts been hardened, and people's eyes been blinded. And he said, Isaiah said this. And he said in verse 41 of John 12, these things says Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. And he tells us not only what he saw, but he tells us when he said, when he saw this sight, when he saw his glory. And he refers back here to Isaiah chapter 6, and we can see here very clearly, he saw the Son of God years before he came into this world. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ upon the throne. And you think of this. He saw his deity. He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. And that's a tremendous truth. Jesus Christ is God. When John's Gospel, you can read John's Gospel over and over and over again. He's bringing this truth out to the people. The one who came from heaven, the one who was born in a manger, the one who became man, who took on to himself human flesh, he's the God of heaven. He's the Lord of glory who came into this world. And here is Isaiah seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He sees his deity. I want to say to you this morning, let us see Jesus. Let us get a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing to change your life as a sight of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing to turn your heart and fill your heart with joy as seeing the Lord Jesus by faith. Nothing. You can look at friends. You can look at people. You can look at things. They'll never lift your heart like the Lord Jesus. There's none as loving, there's none as kind as Lord Jesus, the Son of God. We should desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. See Him, who He is. He's a God of glory. He's the Lord of glory. Well, you can see here His deity. He could see His royalty as well. I'll be saying in verse 5, when mine eyes have seen the King. You know the wonderful thing he saw that day? The Lord Jesus is King. King Jesus. And you read the Bible, you can find, of course, about the Lord Jesus, a golden crown upon His head in Revelation 14, verse 14. In Revelation 19, and the verse 12, it says His eyes were aflame with fire, and on His head were many crowns. Many crowns upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why there's many crowns upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He's a royal King. He is King. And Isaiah, in this day of darkness and death and despair, he lifts up his eyes and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, his Lord, his Savior, his King. He's King. He's a royal King. We sing a hymn sometimes. It says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. And if we can only get a sight of Christ, the Savior who loved us, the Savior who bled and died upon the cross and made that once for all sacrifice for our sins. If we can only get a sight of Him today, He's risen from the dead, He's sitting upon the throne, and He's King. He's King of kings, and He's Lord of lords. And you glad today He's your King. Child of God, today is your King. He's ruling over all. You have King Jesus. We love our Queen. Some of us heard some of her speech yesterday. She's a remarkable woman at her age. Unbelievable, we have to say, of course. Maybe lift her eyes past her. King Jesus. He saw the Lord, the King, sitting upon the throne. His royalty, and he saw his rule, of course, as well. Reign forever and ever. The talks of Christ in Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Oh, what a sight here Isaiah got. All the time Isaiah died. When he died, God gave him this sight. He wanted to lift his heart. He wanted to show him that Christ is King. He wanted to show him that God is in control of all things. I saw the Lord. Oh, give me a sight of Christ. Remember it says in John 12, verse 21, they came to Philip, these men, and as they came to Philip, which was off the side of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. And that's a sight that should touch our heart this morning. The Lord Jesus in the cradle, of course, we've remembered that over the last couple of days. And that's tremendous for all of us. But here he is. He's upon the throne. He's King Jesus, the Son of God. And in the day Uzziah died, he says here, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne and lifted up. And there we find he saw the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And could I say lastly here about he saw the splendor of God. The word splendor means magnificence or splendid appearance, grandeur. You see, what a display of majesty and glory came before his eyes when he looked at this sight. There were things that we're going to notice that he saw. He says there in verse 1, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With train he covered his face, and with train he covered his feet, and with train he did fly. And one cried unto another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. Now the expression of this splendor, there's three things. There was the seraphims. Now this is the only time in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that you'll find these creatures mentioned by this name, seraphims. But they seem to be the same creatures that are mentioned, living creatures, in Ezekiel 1, verse 5, and in Revelation chapter 4, the beast means the living creature. Talked about their wings. These creatures before the throne of God had six wings. It talked not only about their wings, it talked about their words. And these were words of adoration and praise of God. Listen to these. They were crying. They were praising God upon the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Listen to the words. They were praising the holiness of God. They could have said other things. They could have said, power, power, power to God, the Lord of hosts. And he is mighty. They could have said, love, love, love. They could have said, mercy, mercy, mercy. He is full of mercy. But they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. They spoke about the attribute of the holiness of God. And the Lord our God, of course, is holy. This is the highest of all his attributes. That's why God hates sin. Why are we looking for sin? That's only a little fault. That's only a little fault, of course, in me, or a lot of people's lives. But God is holy. He cannot stand sin. We know here this morning, he will punish every sin that's ever been committed in this world. It either be punished upon the sinner, or else it will be has been punished upon Christ. And God is holy, and they were singing about the holiness of God. Come to the Bible, of course. That's what we find. Christ is holy. We find that God is holy. Remember Hannah's prayer, that lady, when she had her son Samuel? In 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, she says, there is none holy as the Lord. She said, there's none. She got the same sight in the sense of the Lord's holiness as Isaiah. In Moses' song in Exodus 15, and in verse 11, he's glorious in holiness. And you and I need to see today that the Lord is King. He's upon the throne. But remember this child of God, he's holy. He's glorious and holiness. Everything about him is holy. Uzziah died of leprosy. Everything he touched was unclean. But God is so different. God is thrice holy. He's so holy here that these angels that are around his throne, they had to cover their faces. They couldn't look upon him. Oh, the splendor of this is found in the expression in the seraphims. It's also found in the skirt, in a sense, because see there in verse 6, or verse 1, and his train filled the temple. That refers to a skirt, a robe. And verse 4 talks about the smoke. The whole house was filled with smoke. The glory of God filled the house. Here's an expression. Here's an expression here of the sight he saw of the Lord and all his glory. It's the sight you and I need to see today. Our God is holy. Think of the expression of it there. Oh, think of the effect of it. How did it affect this man Isaiah, this mighty prophet of God? We think about his lament. He said in verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." He lamented. He saw his own corruption, and he saw his own sin. You can see here there was conviction. You can see, of course, there was confession. You can see there was cleansing. For one angel came and touched his lips with a live coal, and tells him, of course, that he's been cleansed. In verse 7, "Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Here we find it had a great effect upon Isaiah. When he saw the Lord, it affected his lips, his lament. It affected his life. I believe he was never the same again. Do you remember? The Lord said on down in verse 8, and God is speaking to him. He's looking at the King upon the throne, the Lord of glory. And he says in verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who's going to go for us? Who's going to go and proclaim my word?" And listen what happens. "Then said I, here am I. Send me." God says, who's going to go? Who's going to go and proclaim my word? And Isaiah standing looking at this sight of God, the Lord, the Savior, his King. He says, "Lord, I'll go. I'll go." That's an effect upon him, this great vision that he saw at this particular time. "Send me." This was a day he would never forget. The Lord appeared to him in his power and his glory. He saw a royal throne. He saw a glorious person upon the throne. He is never the same again. My hope today, in this meeting, by faith you'll get a glimpse of Christ. Don't be looking at the world around you. Don't be looking at all the trouble that's going around in this land. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes heavenward this morning. Become to God's at the end of another year in God's house. I will see Christ as King. He's Lord. He's over all. He's my Savior. Child of God this morning, you can say he's my Savior. You can say he's my Lord. You can say he's my King. And he lives in my heart. Oh, I saw the Lord. What a different day it makes. What a difference it makes to our lives when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. One person said, if the throne of Israel had not been empty, the prophet would not have seen the throne God in the heavens. And so it is with our losses and with all our sorrows and with all our disappointments and with all our pain. They have a mission to reveal to us the throne God. I think of a lot of truth in that. Sometimes God has to take things away from us that we would see Jesus. That we would see him and see him only. That he's Lord and that he is King. Oh, in the day that King Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord. And oh, that the Lord would show himself to you today. By faith, of course. But the Lord will reveal himself to your heart and to your life. And you say today in this meeting, I've seen the Lord, my King, my Savior, my Lord. He's in control of my life. We're going to enter into a new year. I do not know what's in front of us. But I know one who's ruling over all. I know one who's over all. The Lord Jesus Christ. May God write his word upon all of our hearts for his name's sake. We're going to close our meeting in a wee word of prayer. And then we go separate ways. Pray, Lord, I pray this word upon our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. We pray you write the word upon hearts. We thank you for the vision you give to Isaiah. And Lord, we're glad by faith we can look at it and say it for ourselves. And the same one that Isaiah saw, his Lord, his King, his God, his Savior, is the same God and Savior of his people who are here in this meeting. We thank you, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior, for those who trust Him, and He is our King. And we pray for those who are unconverted, that You'll bring them by faith to the Lord Jesus, even this very day, that they might be saved, Lord, and come and put their faith and trust in Him. We thank You we have a great and mighty God who loves us, and everything's under control. We know not what lies ahead. Some may have difficult steps to take in the congregation. I think, Lord, of the Morris family there, and the difficult steps they'll be taking very shortly. We pray You be with them, and know Thy presence at this time. So, take us our separate ways into our homes in safety. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.